everyone, welcome back to Newton's Nuggets. Right, okay, first off, a couple of apologies. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm not wearing the shirt today because, oh my God, it's hot.
It's so hot.
Me and Jesse are both sat in our studios with the doors and windows shut because neighbours and stuff are mowing lawns and we're trying to block sound and it's hot.
If you can hear the fans that are on in the background to both of us, then I do apologise, but
yeah,
I
we're
don't
sorry.
care.
No. You know we want to get this show out to you, but oh my word, it's hot. Secondly, yes, I'm wearing a T-shirt, but look at that. If you're on YouTube, it's a branded T-shirt, so it's all right. So, today's interview. We'll get to this as quickly as possible because otherwise Jesse and I are going
to
melt.
Very, very quickly, in between, if you're watching on YouTube, you might notice this is full length this week. It will be again from now on. We've had it requests from our listeners and we listened and we have complied.
And actually, do you know what? We've had a few people say to us on the YouTube, can we go back to the full length? And to be honest with you, that means it's less work for Jesse. So I'm actually really up for that because this boy works far too hard anyway. And secondly, we had a really good, well thought out argument from one of our favorite interviews, Mr. Chris Dawes, who put across why he likes the full length. And we both went, do you know what? He's got a point. Let's go with what people are asking for. And, you know, Chris has made the point of writing all that out for us. So, yeah, right, we'll do it.
So the answer to that is let us know what you like and let us know what you don't like.
Unless it's my hat.
Your like face.
We don't like Paul's face. Just do that. This gag is rubbish for anyone on the podcast. For the YouTubers, it's awesome.
We should have gone for, we don't like Jesse's voice. See, that makes sense for everyone.
Yeah, that works on the podcast. Yeah, okay, I like that. Yeah, we'll edit out the first one. We'll go with that.
Edit out.
Doesn't happen. Right, to the interview. So, this week, we've got a man called Durgan Cooper. Now, I met Durgan ages ago. We were both keynoting for a talk, and we were both talking about cybersecurity. And actually, do you know what? You're going to listen to all of this explanation when we do the interview. So, ladies and gents, please grab yourself a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, kick back and relax. You're going to hear me chatting with my mate, Durgan. See you in a bit.
Newton's Nuggets.
So, this advert is about only networking. That's theonly.network. Theonly.network. Now, it's business networking, but not as you know it. They've shaken up business networking by making it more about the people and less about the boring. Seriously, I go along to these network events. They're really great. They're run by really nice people. Every single group they have has people that want to love you and hug you and look after you. It just feels different. And you know what? If you go to one of their events, you might even bump into some dodgy bloke in a trilby and he'll look after you as well. Go and have a look at their website. It really is an awesome network to be part of. Do you know what? This is a selfish one. This is about us. Me and Jesse started out Mental Theft a little while ago, not really knowing where to aim for things. But we've got something that's going to explode in August. We've got Mental Theft the Club. Now, if you type in www.mentaltheft.club, you can get on a VIP list now to find out when we launch our online membership-only platform. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be advice. There's going to be tips. There's going to be scams. We're going to try and help secure you against all of those scammers. Come and join us, mentaltheft.club. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you so much for coming back. Seriously, the guy that I've got coming up, I met him whilst doing a keynote talk somewhere. He was brilliant. Seriously, he was the speaker before me. I was so interested in it that I actually forgot that I was meant to be getting up and talking after him. Thankfully, and he might mention this in a bit, the way that he pointed out that I actually needed to get up and do something soon also made me laugh quite a lot. Ladies and gents, this is Durgan Cooper. Durgan, say hello to everyone.
Good afternoon, Paul. Hello, everyone.
Hello, mate. Right. Thank you very much for coming along. Thank you very much for agreeing to do this. I know we've only met a couple of times, and the fact that you've agreed to come on here really means a lot to me, mate. So thank you for that. Durgan, first question, and possibly the hardest question that I ever ask, is can you explain to everyone who you are, what you do, and why they should listen to me and you ramble on for 30 minutes or so?
Oh, blimey. Well, good afternoon. My name is Durgan Cooper. I run a number of technology businesses ranging from managed service to MSSP, managed security services, and also involved in cyber insurance, a fintech startup. So quite a broad approach to technology and cybersecurity. My main business is based in Yeovil with four offices around the south of the country, essentially a managed service provider called SetSat, where we look after client systems, develop bespoke software for their businesses, obviously protect them. But we've also set up this year what's called a digital transformation team, basically looking to optimize our clients' productivity through Office 365 and the Microsoft Office Suite, using technology that they've actually invested in already, but don't really capitalize on. So quite a broad spectrum.
So is this the case of, it's a bit like me with my phone. I know it can do 1,001 things, but I probably only know 15 of them.
Well, probably, but I'm using it. I'm a Microsoft geek and I use an iPhone and I don't know how to work it. So it probably is exactly like that, Paul.
So you're a Microsoft geek who's gone Apple.
Indeed, I couldn't use one day today, but the phone is really good. And it's secure.
Yeah, annoyingly, they are good bits of kit. You can't. But then there's some great Microsoft phones. There's some great Android phones. Just trying not to upset anyone on Spotify.
Well, quite right. Other brands are available.
Other brands are available. Unless one of them, you know, suddenly sponsors us, then it's just them. That's the only one I'm going to talk about. So your help in the tech world. Something I loved when we met is, I honestly think mental theft and the talks that I do, I think they're doing very well because we speak in plain English. Now, unfortunately, I meet a lot of people in the cybersecurity world who cannot stop talking about megabytes, indabytes, whatever's going on inside the kit, and they go down this route of going so techie that they lose everyone. Now, I said at the start, you're one of the only speakers that I've listened to and I forgot that I had to come on next. It's because you could speak in plain English and I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. It's taken a long time.
So does that mean naturally you're a geek and you want to be talking megabytes or?
Yeah, no, I'm slightly further away from the technology these days, as in doing the bits and pieces on the keyboard, but certainly go out and talk about it a lot, obviously to clients and in public. Really a bit of an evangelist for technology and obviously protection. You know, that's really been the focus over the last several years.
You really are helping quite a number of groups to be as secure as possible, aren't you?
Yeah, no. Well, certainly, I mean, various verticals, I guess, across defence, banking, critical building infrastructure. Some good, wholesome areas.
Okay, cool. So where did Durgan start? Where did he get interested in this?
I have my first PC, IBM PET, I think it was called, before my Commodore 64. Sadly, it's on the scrap heap somewhere. It'd be worth something now, the old PET.
That would be worth a fortune now, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. But no, so it was programming very loosely at a young age. Joined the forces and became the sort of local IT geek, albeit before IT really grabbed hold in the early 90s. And then moved, left the forces in the late 90s, moved into London, into the city, and really got stuck in to technology at that point. So been working around regulated companies for the majority of my career, but not limited to, obviously lots of professional services, a bit of a nuclear power station chucked into the mix, and so on. So quite diverse.
I'm sorry, I love the way that you kind of just skip past that. I've helped a nuclear power station. But, you know, that's fine. That's normal, right?
Yeah.
Mate, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. So you went into, you left the military, went into London, really got into tech then. And then
moved to the southwest. So I live between Yeovil and Taunton in the southwest. I'm in London probably a couple of days a week and have been, you know, quite a bit over the last year from time to time. But equally, it's been nice to sit back and reflect over the last year and build the business a bit rather than being client facing all the time. So
Because we talked about this the other week, didn't we? For those of you listening, Doug and I had a catch-up chat about 2 weeks ago because we hadn't spoken to each other for a little while. And during that chat, we were saying that whilst this year has been horrendous, we've also been travelling a lot less than we normally do. And he and I have both had a chance to really focus on things that are important. Duggan, the security side of this last year, how has that affected your clients?
I mean, touch wood, I've had no clients who've been compromised. But certainly, I've seen it around, of course. Sadly, I've seen a few of our peers in industry be caught out as well. So service providers providing hosting systems and so on, where they have been compromised, they have been the target. So, you know, that's pretty devastating because it doesn't just affect one company. It affects, obviously, a whole collection of. So it has, yeah, it has been a difficult year for many, but generally speaking, the tech sector has obviously done pretty well. Ourselves, I mean, certainly in the last year, we have developed a SOC solution. So it is it's a couple of years later, just because it's, but I've had time to concentrate on the business. So that's sort of the big next thing is essentially delivering a SOC to our customers. We're looking at putting that into the building management environment, sort of critical building infrastructure, and then starting to push it out amongst all the clients.
Brilliant, brilliant. So what have you been working on lately that we're allowed to talk about? I know that is a bit dodgy with you, isn't it? It's similar to me. There's certain clients that I've signed NDAs saying that I never worked for them. And I know you get into even more of that than I do.
Yeah, no, well, certainly, sadly, with a number of our clients, we can't do case studies, which would be great. I mean, I did one with Juniper late last year where we did two. One where we put a network into a nuclear power station and one where we put a network into an enterprise building in Canary Wharf. So I guess the biggest thing that's happened is actually bringing together a lot of what we've done over the last decade. We created a joint venture in February with a building management design company where we're essentially providing a one-stop shop to buildings as they explode into OT and IoT networks. So essentially everything within an enterprise building is increasingly connected, be it lights and water and heating, book a room and so on. But obviously, if you want to shut a bank down, you turn the heating up in the middle of summer or put the alarms on and they have to evacuate. You don't necessarily need to shut the bank down. You just disrupt its operation. So nation states, criminal gangs and so on have realized that the way to disrupt a bank is through the building environment, because historically, those environments have been less well protected than the corporate financial side of a bank. So we look after several buildings and so on. So that's an area, and we're essentially providing an end-to-end wrap and securing it, most importantly. So
nice. See, I think that's massively important at the moment, because you think what's happened in America, and they currently have petrol prices through the roof because hackers got control of a pipeline that they should never have got to. You've got Ireland, their health services are taking an absolute kick in right now, again, because hackers. Mm. And I still have conversations with business owners, and they go, oh, no, 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 no. If a hacker gets in, all they can do is mess about with the ones and zeros in the computers. It's like, no, no, you don't seem to.
I think where we met, where I was speaking about cyber warfare, of course.
Yes.
And about WannaCry, where obviously that affected the NHS back in 2017. And yet there are still systems out there, certainly within building management, but in many environments, which still are not patched against that vulnerability over, well, give or take, 4 years ago. 4 years ago in a week, I think, it hit the street. So the patch, that is. So, yeah, systems are still not patched so many years later. And people wonder why they can still be vulnerable. I mean, we're all susceptible and vulnerable to risk, but there's kind of willful negligence in there as well, one might suggest. So
and especially when you've got some really intelligent people making updates for programs and systems to try and stop all of these hackers and stop these known vulnerabilities, and then you've got people going, oh no, I'm not hitting the update because that will stop me working for 30 minutes.
No. Well, I certainly worked in an environment where we were told to stop patching for a couple of years because the patches broke the application software. So, of course, it was actually WannaCry, which so essentially, yes, it was a building environment where essentially the manufacturer of building management stuff. We patched the system and it stopped their software working. So we were informed to stop patching the environment for fear of breaking the systems. Now, obviously, WannaCry just turned that on its head, where essentially the client realized, yeah, we've got a patch. Yes. If the software vendor hasn't caught up, that's due diligence and you may want to change your vendor for software. But obviously you are still at risk. So, and if their software doesn't meet the standard, you never know.
This is it. And actually now, even as individuals, we've got so much technology on us. If you're not hitting the update button, you might be missing out on a massive security update.
Completely. Yeah, sadly, because they can break things as well. Less so, I hasten to add, you know, certainly in the Wild West days of Microsoft updates, because that's my life, you know, there have been a number of occasions where you're having to recover, but that's the nature of the beast. But yeah, certainly it has got better, but it's not completely infallible again. So, you know, things may go wrong, sadly, but I'd rather that and know that I've got good backup and disaster recovery, which is obviously a core component of cyber strategy, to have good backup offline, not connected, encrypted. And obviously, bearing in mind that it's occasionally, one should test it at least once a year, ideally. So yeah, you know, it's a shame that even through patching, we have to sometimes in anger test it, but it does work.
Yeah. Yeah, you do have to test it. It kind of reminds me of the most simple fire system. Do you know what? If the batteries don't work in it, it's pointless.
Quite right. Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't test it every so often, what's the point? Okay, so I know we've got a lot of listeners that are small to medium businesses. What are your biggest worries for those size companies at the moment?
Gosh, well, there's lots of change going on, first and foremost. So in the way in which people work, obviously work from home is absolutely chucking it down here, by the way. I don't know if you can hear that. But,
No, you're good at the moment. You're fine.
Okay. Obviously working from home has really driven the migrations to Office 365. Sorry, it is really loud here. I can't hardly hear myself.
Sorry.
I know you can cut this out, Jesse. Sorry.
Honestly, you're absolutely fine. I can hardly hear it.
No, I'll keep talking and we'll see how we go. No, that's right. It's just absolutely shutting down. So yeah, no, the March to Office 365 has really transformed how businesses worked. And notwithstanding security, there are some real gotchas with using SharePoint and Teams. And if you don't plan your deployment in the respect of SharePoint and so on, you can have a system with proliferation of team sites and so on. So really locking down those team sites, the security on those team sites from the start, it's better to relax security. Whilst Microsoft generally and increasingly work in what's called a least privileged way, teams, one can just set up a new team and multiple teams, and you can end up with literally hundreds of teams which are out of control. So certainly a good strategy around the deployment is absolutely key. And certainly, you know, picking up on the Office 365, you've got Secure Score within the 365 tenancy, which is Microsoft Security Analyzer. So checking that out regularly for ensuring that your tenancy is on balance. You know, there are some things which you may need to allow, which would reduce your score for Secure Score, but make informed decisions rather than no decisions. So certainly check out, I think it's security.microsoft.com/secure-score. And whilst there are other brands available, certainly the majority that we do is around the 365 crowd. So I don't know about the other flavors out there, but certainly that's some big areas. I think that cybersecurity is not going away. I think that, you know, obviously business owners, business leaders need to really take on board the work from home. You know, we are here a year now working from home, and cyber essentials changed less than a month ago to include work from home, bring your own device. So be aware of that. If you have cyber essentials, that now bring your own device for business purposes is coming into scope. So you've really got to take control of that. And if you're sort of edging towards the renewal, better to address it sooner. And then obviously training, you know, around training staff and so on. You know, that's a big area for cyber awareness, expecting people to know what to do or what a phishing email looks like. You can't always rely on it. So informing staff and making sure they've done the training is very key.
So you mentioned phishing emails just there, right at the end there. And I got sent one yesterday that was apparently from EE. But I tell you, Doe, I was looking at it and I only found two pointers that made me go, nope, don't trust it. They're getting really good.
It's surprising it's taken so long. It's taken so long for them to get so good. But we're all at risk. You know, we can all receive them. And obviously there's a whole backstory there about ways in which one can protect through technology as well as training. Certainly it's the biggest, I think, over 83%, I think only last week I read, of compromise starts with an email.
83%. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
So it's not, you know, hacking, direct hacking, offensive hacking. It starts with an email and gets into the system first.
And it'll start with simple questions. It's not always going straight for your credit card number. It will start with simple questions just to get some prove who you are moments. And something that I really dislike, and me and Jesse have talked about this a lot, is it's, do you know what? It's not just stupid people that will fall for these. And I'm actually really fed up of that, because I know some seriously intelligent players who have fallen for scams and fallen for frauds. I think that one of the bad things is we've got to get used to talking about it if we do get stung, so that we can learn more and people can start realising that actually, the more we talk about this, the less chance they have of scamming us.
No, absolutely. But I think people have got to realise that those people who hold responsibility, for example, for finance, those senior people or the C-level, the board, those are the people that are going to be targeted more. I worked for an organization, financial services organization, where the board wanted all the security in the world, but they wanted it turned off for the board because it was too much hassle. And, you know, and it's just, but you're the big target. You're the big target because you have the authority, you know, and they spent many, many, many thousands on high-tech kits and security. Thankfully, in the end, they kept it on. But it took some arm wrestles to do so.
Yeah. And it, do you know what, Doug? I don't know about you, but it amazes me how many companies don't have the budget for their security. And then something bad happens, and all of a sudden, they have budget.
Yeah, it's difficult, though. That is a difficult one, because what I think people haven't realised, certainly in the enterprise space, they realised many years ago that you had to have a separate budget for security than you did IT services. But in the SME space, there's still an anticipation that it's within IT. And with the SOCs and the other solutions, you know, these all carry extra budget, which aren't sort of common OPEX budget, you know, you might need to invest. And certainly a piece of technology or software which is there to secure you, if it's compromised, you might need to get rid of it within months, you know, because it's become compromised. So it's whereas with an OPEX managed services budget, you can pretty much forecast for the next 3 years based upon business fluctuations. We think we're going to grow. IT is going to cost you more. We think we're going to shrink. IT might cost you less. But security, it's a blank checkbook. You can just keep going.
And it's one of those things that this, the savvy business owner, if your security works, you actually can't see an ROI. You cannot see a return from that money because you never really know how many things it stopped.
Well, I think that's generally IT services as well. You know, we've had it leveled. What are you doing for all this, you know, income that we give you? Well, because nothing goes wrong. Bingo.
There you go. Yeah. So, the fact nothing has gone wrong is a really good mark.
The reason you weren't happy with your previous supplier that cost half as much, bingo.
Yeah, and it's a tough lesson to learn, isn't it?
Hey, well, we're all running businesses, and you know, we all have budgets and limitations. Yeah. So it is difficult. I acknowledge.
And this is it. And I've seen a decent, I was going to say small business, but I've seen companies that are employing 15, 20 people get completely taken down because of one scam. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is wipe out the cash flow for that business. And that's a family built business gone overnight.
No, I've seriously had, gosh, MDs of companies literally in tears on the phone to me. And I think that is often the underestimated thing, is the human impact of, well, you must see it with mental health, you know, the human impact of cybercrime or cyber compromise, not only to the business owners, but the unfortunate soul who pressed the button, because invariably they weren't trained or they haven't got the right security controls, process, policies in place, systems to protect the business. And, you know, but that person feels devastated. So, you know, it's terrible. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. People have got to talk about it. I have seen some really good examples of business email compromise, chief execs of various organizations actually publish their story in that exactly that effort to publicize the fact that this can happen to anyone. It could happen to any of us. So, you know, however careful we are, it only takes one click. You know, so certainly simulated attacks are, I would suggest, a really good thing to do. So simulated phishing attacks, I've certainly had a number of customers take that up where, you know, they've become very worried because a member of staff has clicked through, and obviously they've become alerted through the system, through the simulated system. And it's a really good thing. You know, nothing has been compromised. Yes, they did give credentials of some system to another, but it was a training ground.
Exactly. It was a controlled experiment test.
Exactly. And so, obviously amplifies the fact that their staff needed more training before they did it real.
Tell you what, if you then train that person that fell for it, they won't let that happen again.
Quite right.
Because they are so alert now, they're just that I'm not getting embarrassed about that happening ever again. And I'll be honest, I think they then become one of the best securities for that company because they've gone through that. If the training is done correctly.
The human firewall.
I like that. The human firewall. Yeah, we can use that. I like that. Okay.
But certainly, I think that with training, there are some really good products out there. There are a good number of products out there. And I think the best ones actually focus on the individual. So we've all been there in business training and everyone falls asleep because it's all business training. But actually, there's some really good cybersecurity training which teaches individuals how to protect themselves, their personal assets, their family. And obviously the byproduct, the positive byproduct, is that they protect the business because they take it on board. So be selective when choosing cybersecurity training products for staff.
You know what, bud? I wish they taught some of this in schools as well. Because my daughter is going through what I call senior school.
Hmm.
And the kind of training they get is don't go on social media and don't click links. And that's it. It's like, no. They're going into this world of technology and the tech is around them all the time.
It's going to happen. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to happen. But it's almost like there's a fear of telling them what can really happen within schools. And I would love to go into my daughter's school and do a talk on it, but she'd be so embarrassed and she'd disown me and I'd probably get kicked out of my own house.
I'm with you. Yes, absolutely. No. I'm with you. But it's always the same. I mean, as a service provider, we don't have any education clients, and I've always thought that they're going to be the most hostile environments for cyber that you could ever imagine. So, that IT department at school, blimey. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, mate, there are so many things I want to talk with you about. If I'm a small fledgling business and I'm running from my laptop, okay, how do I keep secure? What do I do? What do I worry about?
Well, I think the good thing is there are... If we talk, you know, what are the biggest threats? Obviously, email or compromise through email means. So historically, you had to sign up for a really sort of enterprise class system. I don't know about non-Microsoft, although I'm sure they are there, but certainly Microsoft have now got a premium email security platform through which your emails traverse. When they're coming down to you, filtering out the spam. I mean, how much spam do we really see these days? Not a great deal in comparison to several years ago. So it's all about the sandboxing of attachments and so on. So there, and I think that sort of service can cost as little as a couple pounds per month. So worth that extra. Obviously it can get quite costly, but again, if you're looking at one of the big enterprise products, you're talking potentially many thousands of pounds a year for, you know, tens of people. So it's a really great addition just to have on a monthly subscription. Good antivirus. They say you don't get anything for free. Well, you can get free antivirus. I would question that. How much is developed into it? Obviously, Microsoft has Defender. I think it's called Defender still, within the operating system, but I would always suggest just look beyond that and look at a managed AV solution. But then there's training and, you know, the usual suspects, actually getting people to use their equipment, their software effectively. And you can only do that through training. So, you know, that's the biggest takeaway, I think.
Awesome. Right, mate, I know I do have to be concerned about time today, and you've already given me loads of your time. Now, we spoke about this a little bit. The show actually started out being called Newton's Nuggets because it was just me giving a little nugget of information to try and help people. So I always ask every single guest, what's your nugget of information to help the listeners today?
Okay, well, I've kind of hammered home already one of them. I've got two. And obviously the first one is training. You wouldn't throw someone at a business piece of software if they were a new employee and expect them to fly. You would train them on how to use it. Well, cybersecurity is very much like that. You need to train people to spot phishing, do simulated attacks that we've discussed, and understand about using public Wi-Fi. What are the risks? It's not to suggest that the risk is always going to occur, but just be mindful. And also, when you've got privileged users, we talked about the finance people in the organization. So there are specific attack vectors used against different demographics within businesses. So training, you can train these individuals about the specific attacks which would be attempted against them. But the biggest one, I think, is, and it spans, you know, all the businesses that I'm involved in, I manage services, cybersecurity, and so on. And it's essentially the fact that it's about taking responsibility. There is a misperception that that the IT service provider or the managed security provider is responsible for your organization's security. And it's not. It can never be. They can be trusted advisors, they can implement, they can monitor and maintain, but they are not responsible. And you, as a business owner, must do your own checks and balance to ensure that you're seeing the right information. It's very easy for me to go, you're secure, but does that make someone sleep at night or allow someone to sleep at night? I don't know necessarily. I do ask my clients, of course, what the crown jewels are, but any organization's crown jewels, what are they? How much is it worth investing? What's an appropriate amount? We've seen, obviously, over the last years with Cyber Essentials take that step of having a board member, an officer, a director of the organization actually sign Cyber Essentials rather than the technologist. And that's essentially because it's the board's responsibility to protect itself, to protect its assets, its people, and so on. So it's about responsibility. That's my nugget. I hope that's good enough.
Mate, that's spot on. It's absolutely spot on. It's the responsibility side of it. The amount of times that I talk to the owner of a medium-sized business, and I'll say to them, so what do you do in this situation? And they literally answer with, I don't know, the IT guys worry about that. You kind of need to know.
Well, the thing is, I think the key thing is that, you know, I've been looking at business insurance today, and I'm looking at marketing over there. I'm certain, you know, whilst I'm involved in the insurance industry, I'm not an insurer, and I'm certainly not a marketeer. I take responsibility for those things within my organisation, or I work with my colleagues who may have direct responsibility, but ultimately, it's my responsibility, and I certainly take responsibility for its cybersecurity. And I don't have an endless budget equally, so you've got to do it in a very considered way. But responsible, we must be.
Brilliant. Duggan, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, what's the easiest way to do it?
LinkedIn is the only social media that I play with. Duggan Cooper on LinkedIn, but my company is setsat.com. Thank you.
That's quite, mate. Seriously, thank you so much for coming on here. Do you know what? If what we've talked about just helps one company from stopping one scam, it's been worth it.
Hey, well, I hope so. And I look forward to being able to see you in person again soon. And of course, I look forward, hopefully, to being your warm-up act once again. So I thought, just remember to get that in.
Bud, you were the best warm-up act I could have ever asked for. It was so funny. As I alluded to earlier, Durgan finished his talk and literally said, "I've been the warm-up man for Paul Newton." And I then went, "Ah, I'm next. Ah, what am I doing?" Just went into it. I better get ready because I was too busy listening to you. That was brilliant. Mate, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Ladies and gents, that's Durgan Cooper. Seriously, go and have a look at SetSat. Jesse will put a link to the website down below. Just go and have a look at them. See if they can help you out. Durgan Cooper, thank you so much, mate. Shout goodbye to everyone for me.
Goodbye, and Paul Newton, good to see you, and best of luck with this. Thank you.
Thank you so much, buddy. I will speak now. Me and Jesse are going to go to some adverts now, and then after that, we're going to talk about Durgan behind his back, and he's not going to know what we've said until the show comes out.
Newton's Nuggets.
This advert is for Net Primates. Now, Net Primates have been backing us for a while, and they've come back again for July. Thank you so much, guys. Did you know that 90% of businesses are now using Office 365? But a massive chunk of them don't have their security set up properly. Go to Net Primates' website. Have a look at all the free resources. They'll give you a load of help on there and won't charge you a penny. And if you need something more detailed, get in touch with the owner, Steve. He'll help you out. He's even been on the show, so we know how good he is, and he knows his stuff. That's Net Primates. Go and have a look at their website. The details will be in the description. There you go. That was Durgan. Right, do you see what I mean? He really is a nice guy. And one of the things that I was going to say I hate, that's the wrong word. One of the things I don't love about cyber speakers is they go too far into technology. They go too far into the gigabytes and the chips and the micro sets and the whatever is in something. Okay. Jesse's laughing because he knows that I'm now just making words up because I don't listen to them. Okay. but Durgan doesn't. He's similar to me as in he speaks in a very plain English. But he wants to concentrate on the people side more. He understands the technology and he gets that and he's great with it. And hopefully you've picked up about 20 nuggets from that interview alone. But he really is a plain speaker. He will never go too highbrow with technology to scare you because that's just not what he's about. Jesse, the main thing that I got from Durgan's interview was something that me and you have both been preaching for quite a while about. You need to train your people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Right, I wrote a note down when I was listening. Your people can't protect you without being trained in how to protect you. It's so simple, isn't it?
And the thing is like, if you think about it in terms of anything else in the world, you know, imagine a castle with soldiers, you know,
yeah,
where you're talking about bees or, you know, whatever you're talking about, there's always the fighty defendery type people and then the worker bees and, you know, and the same thing in, you know, farmers and soldiers and things like that. Everybody kind of understands that. But the thing that people don't seem to understand very well with the cybersecurity type things is that you're talking about the weakness and everybody has access. So if everybody has access, everybody's a potential weakness for breaking in.
Yeah.
And so every single person needs to understand the importance of at least the areas that they're in and the things that they're going to touch. And normally that starts with email because almost everybody has an email these days.
Yeah. And again, you saying everybody has email, he dropped a stat in the interview. I'm going to check my notes again. 83% of compromise starts with an email.
Yeah.
One more word. That's ridiculous. Right. I like that interview. I'm
really
hoping we haven't lost the people who want to come here for motivation and how to build their businesses. Because do you know what? We've got a lot of followers who are building businesses. And I really hope they take this one seriously, because if they get things right when they're small, then that becomes the norm as they grow. If they don't get it right now, it's so hard to put this stuff in place afterwards.
Yeah, it's a mindset thing, isn't it? And I know we've spoken to a lot of people who deal with IT for people, you know, through the mental theft side of things. We've spoken to a lot of people that deal with that IT. And the reality is, the companies that have been around for a long time, it's a real battle to try and essentially reteach, you know, teach old dogs new tricks, basically.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in a great position, if you're the owner of a small business, whether it's just you and maybe a couple of other people, it's the least amount of effort now as a starting point to start building, making the changes now and building, so that you've got this idea of the mindset of being secure from an early stage.
Yeah. And even when a company is massive, we've told the story loads of times about me walking through a building and just, you know, videoing a post-it note and having somebody's password and username. And they were quite high up in the accounts department. If somebody doesn't look after their little section of security, then it's a massive compromise anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we can batter on about this. And then, right, so we're filming this on Monday. This will be out this Wednesday. Scam of the week that I put out today was actually about an ex-employee screwing over a company.
Yeah.
So because they hadn't put layers in and because they hadn't put extra security in for when somebody leaves, that person then compromised an ex-colleague and ended up being ransomware, trying to take them for 75 bitcoins, which is probably worth 22 gazillion pounds now.
Give or take.
Yeah, give or take a gazillion. But do you know what I mean? If there were so many ways they could have stopped that. But the fact is, if a person really wants to attack you and they've got some insider knowledge, but it's all right, because we'll just put the passwords on a post-it note.
I mean, I saw a fix to a security problem about a year ago, and it really got me thinking, because the security issue in itself was really small. But what they found was that if you knew how to exploit that really minor security issue, which was essentially just getting access to a bit of cloud software, that gave enough, even if you were a really limited user, if you're clever with all your hacking and all the rest of it, that gave enough of a thread to pull on that they can access the entire systems of a whole business.
Yeah.
And just because you think, that user's the one that's being compromised, but don't worry, they're an admin member of staff who has very little access to the system. Sometimes that's enough. If you don't know how the structure of that system, that database, etc., how that's all put together, sometimes that's enough for IT experts to gain access.
You know that I chat to black hat hackers and I chat to white hat hackers. I chat with pen testing teams that are red and blue. Red team is the ones that attack. Blue teams are the ones that try to defend, just to help people. And when I talk white and black hats, black hat is the baddies, like from the cowboys and Indians. And white hats are the goodies, like the sheriffs. There you go. That's why they get their names as they do. I was talking to some pen testers on the internet a while ago. They tried to attack a company. It was really, really well defended. But for some reason, someone hadn't turned off the Wi-Fi access on an aircon unit. And that was enough for them to get in and eventually take over the network for the whole company.
Yeah.
What the? I would never have thought of that. But these geniuses are like, hey, look, we found one little chink in the armor. Let's exploit that. And they do. But yeah, the email compromise, that scares me, because I still have people saying to me, I can spot all of these fake emails. They'll never get me.
That one I had the other week.
Oh, that was good.
That was good. That was not an easy spot.
That was good.
And it was only because I was specifically looking for it that I found it. I mean, that could easily have been an email from a colleague.
And I got sent one recently where even the from email address looked really good. But what they'd done is they'd bought the website domain that looked like the company, but rather than an O that was a letter, it was an O that was like a symbol from Wingdings or something like that. So it looked really good.
Yeah.
Even I went, oh, that's not good. That's not good at all. But if the scam's big enough, it's worth buying the website to try and get you.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? You can buy websites for like a tenner now, can't you?
Well, the domain might be only a couple of quid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've bought domains for a couple of pounds before, haven't we?
Yeah.
Right.
To stay on top of all of this thing, if only there was a place you could go to with regular updates and news and guest speakers and cybersecurity and scams and security and stuff.
You should say that, Jesse. You've just given me an idea.
Yeah.
What about if we started mentaltheft.club? Let's say we bought the website of www.mentaltheft.club.
Yeah.
And then we said that people could sign onto a list. And if we opened a membership site that would cover their backsides where security's concerned, and we're going to get experts in to help all of the members. What about that?
That sounds like a great idea. Are you saying that all of our listeners now should go to mentaltheft.club and register to get information just in case a Mental Theft Club membership should start up on like potentially the 2nd of August?
And maybe if we said something like, even if they signed on to this list, they are not saying they're going to join the club, they're just showing they're interested and they want to know when it starts.
And is there a possibility that if they sign up just to be interested but not necessarily join the club, that they might be in line for a prize draw for things like free memberships and t-shirts and stuff like that?
Do you mean maybe there's a conversation between the two people that own the company saying, we're going to try and give away some free memberships for life, we're going to give away some t-shirts possibly, and some other stupid things that we think people might be interested in?
Yeah, that'd be great.
It would be great.
We should discuss that and talk about it on the show.
Do you know what? I hope nobody goes to www.mentaltheft.club and checks it out, because if they sign up too quickly, I might have to do some work.
That was really bad acting from the two of us.
That was really bad. That was really bad. This is why I'm not an actor.
Luckily, that wasn't actually scripted, so that's as good as it's getting.
That was what we call off the cuff. See? We are just such professionals.
For those watching the YouTube, you know that neither of us are currently wearing cuffs.
I've got a t-shirt. I'm comfy.
Yeah.
Comfy.
Off the cuff.
Right, and on that, have we done everything we needed to today?
Yeah.
Ladies and gents, thank you so much for coming and listening or watching our show. We really do appreciate it. Next month, we're going to go back to normal for the sponsorship and the advertising on the show. We did the July offer and it worked really well. Thank you for everyone that's joining in. And we've had a load of the smaller businesses thank us for doing this. So do you know what, Jesse? We might do this again at some point. Until then, we're going back to you can sponsor us for a month or a few months and we'll put the prices back on the website. Other than that, you lot are awesome. Go share the show. I mean, we still get peaks of people downloading it and we don't know why. I think it's because you lot share the show, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.